Good morning, everybody. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen."
Hey, kids, how you doing today? Any kids? Oh, let's see, how am I going to get this to work? I have Easter eggs at the front. Anyone want to come? Oh, yeah, the adults. All right. Okay, Easter eggs didn't work. What about superheroes? Anyone know anything about superheroes? You do? You want to be a superhero? Oh, you watch some superheroes. All right, well, this will be a quiz. Come on down. If you get the question right, you'll get a Easter egg. You've probably got plenty of them, but that's what I've got up my sleeve for today. There's plenty of them around at the moment. All right, so you ready? Oh, here we go. Come on down. Excellent. Good work. Good work. We'll start with an easy one. You ready? Okay, I'll say the guy's name, and then you tell me what sort of superhero he is. You ready? Peter Parker. Who is he? No? Spider-Man. Very good. Excellent work. I'll give you a nice big one for that one. Sorry, Mum and Dad. Okay, next one. A little bit tricky. You like tricky? All right, here we go. Bruce Wayne. Batman, look at that. Very good. There you go, Batman. Excellent work. All right, here's this one. How do they, boys. Oh, girl, sorry. Robert Bruce Bannon. The Hulk, yes. Hulk smash, very good. All right. Okay, this one has a bonus prize in it. You ready? Clark Kent. Superman, very good. All right, the adults, what was his birth name? His birth name? Kal-El, woohoo! Very good. Excellent work. Sorry. Okay. You ready for the next one? Donnie Johnson. Yes. What superhero is he? Captain America. What about Captain Australia? You don't know him. I'll go with Captain America. He's a pretty good looking guy, isn't he? Young, fit. Enough of that, you guys. Gee. All right. So we start off, I gave you people that were just normal people. I mean, Peter Parker's a uni student. He's just a normal guy, going, studying, doing what he does and takes photos. All right. High school. College. I thought he was college. Oh, there you go. Yeah, Australian college. Then you've got a guy who writes for a newspaper. Then you've got one guy who's pretty cool. He's a scientist and has a bit of an experiment and doesn't go real well. But they're just normal guys and girls. But something happens to them and they transform into something absolutely amazing. Or weird, yes, it could be weird. Especially the Hulk turning big and green. That's a bit weird. But today we celebrate something amazing happening too, don't we? Jesus rose back to life. That's an amazing transformation, because on Good Friday, he's dead and in the tomb, lifeless. Pretty disappointing. Then, yeah, next time I'll study some more Pokemon. I'm not up to date on all of it. But we get to a point where today we celebrate that Jesus is alive. What a massive transformation from lying in a tomb to walking around talking and explaining to people the things of the kingdom of God. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? It's out there. It's something different. But the amazing thing about it, and we're going to talk a bit about it throughout the service, is that with Jesus rising from the dead, it not only changes him, but it changes you and me. Because, you know, Donnie Johnson is not necessarily a superhero like Captain America, but Donnie Johnson gets to become something amazing and incredible because of what Jesus does in and through his life. Yeah. All right? Can I tell you a quick story? And then I want you to do something with me that is incredible and amazing that we get to do because we're followers of Jesus. Now, one of the other things I do is surf life saving, and I do chaplaincy. But yesterday I was on patrol down at my beach, and it was a pretty good day, high tide, so it wasn't a lot of beach for people to sit on or play cricket. But as the tide went out, lots of people started to come down to the beach. Pretty good day. Had a couple of good chats with some people. But at the very end of the day, one of the guys I do life-saving with, who has become a bit of a friend, he's about my age, he came up to me and shared with me something absolutely heartbreaking. He had tears in his eyes as he shared this with me. And it was some tragedy. I won't go into details, but a tragedy had happened in his family. And everyone was really upset. They were asking lots of questions. You know one of the questions when something really bad goes, what question do you ask? Why and what happened? Why did this happen? How did this take place? How did we get to here? And he's asking all those questions. And I didn't have much for him. But then I remembered that as a follower of Jesus, I can call out to God. And so I said to him, can I pray for you? And we were standing up on the tower there at the surf club at Kiwana. And I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes, please pray for me. And I said, no, I mean pray for you right now. And he said, yes, please pray for me. So right there, both in our yellow surf life-saving gear and me with my rescue cap on him, him ready to start his patrol, I reached out and put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him. And he bowed his head, and at the end of my prayer, his eyes were all welled up in tears. And he did something he's never done with me in 7 years. He gave me a massive hug, like a bear hug. And then he said, thank you for that. And I said, I'm going to keep praying for you. And he said, I'd appreciate that. So can we join together and pray for Craig and his family? Would you like to do that? It's like a superpower we get to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the ruler of all the universe, God, and say, God, can you help this family who are doing it really tough? So join with me as we pray for Craig and his family. Father God, I thank you for these stories of superheroes, all the amazing things that we read about them doing. But Lord, none of what they can do is anything compared to you, Jesus, rising from the dead and coming to life and bringing forgiveness and grace into each of our lives. And part of that forgiveness and grace is the opportunity to pray for people, to come before you, the King of Kings and the creator of this universe, the one who knows us intimately, and say, Lord, we lift Craig and his family before you. And we ask, Lord God, that you would minister into their lives. When they're hurting, Lord God, you would just be with them and comfort them, and that they can cry out to you and you would walk through this journey with them. Lord, in the darkness, I pray that there would be light. In the sadness, I pray that you would bring joy. Walk with them, Lord God. And anything we can do to be your hands and feet, we pray that you would open that door for us. And all God's kids said, amen. All right, thank you very much. Now, who didn't get an Easter egg that really needs one today? Okay. All right. There you go. Let's pray, shall we? Father, for us today, may we be aware of your transformational work in and through our lives and what you want to do in and through us. We thank you for Good Friday, but we thank you that Sunday is with us and that we can know this resurrection and we can know you and you at work in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. this single event that we're talking about, that's taking place today, that we're reflecting on, has impacted lives over the centuries. Impacted so dramatically, taken people from one end of life spectrum to the other end, all because they met a risen Jesus, all because they got to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me share with you some names throughout history who have been transformed because of what we're reflecting on today. Two of the disciples, Peter and Paul, changed dramatically. A guy called Ignatius, the Bishop of Antioch. Another guy called Polycarp. If you want to read some interesting last words, have a look at Polycarp. A guy called Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan. Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo. Ninian, Patrick of the Apostle to the Irish. Boniface, Alfred the Great, the King of Wessex. All these people changed and did amazing things because of Jesus involved in their lives. Not all of them saints as we might remember them, but all of them sinners in the hand of an awesome God. A guy called St. Francis of Assisi, John Wycliffe, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox. Others called John Bunyan, George Fox, George Whitfield, John Wesley, the Wesley brothers. I think we've sung one of them today. If we haven't, we're going to later. David Livingstone, the work he did into the area all around Malawi, where we are praying for the folk that we love and care for over there. C.T. Studd, William Wilberforce, who was an amazing philanthropist and reformer. I thought I'd stumble on that one. A lady called Elizabeth Fry, who did work into the prisons back in the 1700s. Could you imagine a lady going into those prisons of that era, making a difference because of Jesus working in her life? A guy called George Mueller, who opened up orphanages all over the place. Not orphanages that are brought into disrepute, but orphanages that were fulfilled and supplied by God's grace and providence. A lady called Catherine Boone, the mother of the Salvation Army. She had a husband who was pretty good too, William. C.H. Spurgeon, a pastor and preacher. Smith Wigglesworth, amazing healing ministry. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Billy Graham, Louis Palau, Dr. Ida Schroeder, founder of the medical college, Amy Carmichael, Watchman Nee, Gladys Elwood, Jackie Pullinger. How many of us remember the stories of Jackie Pullinger taking on the triads and everything? Brother Andrew, ministry into the communist world, and a lady called Corey Ten Boom. Amazing men and women transformed by the resurrection, transformed by a risen Jesus and because of the life that comes into them. And I want to challenge us that amongst that list that hasn't been completed yet, is continuing to be written, is your name, about what Jesus can do in and through you into this world, into this community. If you have your Bibles there, we'd like to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. We're just going to read through this and I'll make a couple of comments on this incredible scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. I preached it to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. It's an interesting way to start this area of the resurrection, isn't it? He's challenging us to hold on to what we've heard and what we understand. Otherwise we believe in vain. In our prayer time this morning, I use the three words that we have at Kiwanis Life: belong, believe, and become. Belonging is good fun. We can get to hang out. We can have good barbecues together. We can hang out in church. We can celebrate the risen Jesus. But unless that belonging flows through to something that we can believe, and unless that belief becomes an action lived, that we become someone in that belief that we hold on to, I believe we can too fall into that error of believing in vain for no reason. And Paul goes on and says this: for what I received, I passed on to you. as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see, Jesus dying for our sins was the fulfillment of many, many parts of the first part of this book. Many, many parts fulfilled again and again and again. This happened because it was prophesied. This happened because it was prophesied according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and he was raised on the third day, again, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter, Cephas, and then he appeared to the 12. And then he went on and appeared to the 500 brothers and sisters all at one time, most of them who are still living, but some have fallen asleep. Why is he saying this? He's saying this to people who believe, but maybe waning in what they're believing. And he's saying, look, this is what happened. Jesus died on the cross. We all know that. Many of us understand that. It's a recorded history. But then he appeared to Peter, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he appeared to the 500. And he's challenging people, if you believe this, excellent. If you don't believe it, then go and find them. That's why he's saying some of these are still alive. Some have passed away and gone to sleep, but they're still alive. If you don't believe what I'm writing to you, come and find them and talk to them and say, what did you see? What did Jesus say to you in this resurrection body? That you might believe and understand. Some have gone asleep. Then he appeared to James and then the other apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me, one who is abnormally born. For I am the least of all apostles. For I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it is I or they, that is what we preach, is what you believe. The grace that is working in you and in me is because of this resurrection. The grace that wants to break through into your life that you might understand and comprehend the life that God has for you in all its grandeur. What did Jesus say? I've come that you might have life and life in a abundance. Abundance. Life in abundance. How many of you know that I cannot give you life in abundance? I cannot even give my family life in abundance. I cannot even control a dog living in my house. He's ruling my life at the moment. He gets me up in the morning. Who is it that gives us an abundant life? Jesus. Who is it that rose from the dead? Jesus. It's Jesus that comes and works in and through us. It's him we turn to when the going gets tough. We can support and encourage and pray for one another. But when you want to step out in faith, it's in Jesus' faith and working through you and the power of the Holy Spirit that things can come about and things can be done. The transformational work of the Holy Spirit. If you want to do a little bit of an interesting Bible study, look up the word transformed or transformation through the New Testament, and you'll come across some really cool and powerful sections of Scripture. I want to concentrate on just one as we come to concluding this little brief message today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says this, I want to know Christ. Some translations is, I want to have faith in Christ. He's saying this loudly and clearly. I want to believe in Jesus and I want to believe, I want to believe, I want to believe. I want to know him passionately. And he says, and yes, to know the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. It's interesting, a lot of the devotional writers about this or the commentary writers talk in both areas. They talk this side and this side. It's not either or. The power of the resurrection literally being the power of the resurrection. That life giving force. The other side of it is the life that comes out of knowing a resurrected Jesus. All those testimonies that I was talking about, lives changed and transformed, people prepared to lay down riches, family, security, safety. Many of those guys that we talked about in that book and women went into areas that were unsafe. I mentioned about a lady in 1700s going into jails. That was just horrific, but heroic in what she did. Then you look at some of the other missionaries wandering through, untamed for white folk, generally speaking, areas of places, not speaking the language, not knowing where to find the right food. Some of the places that they went through in China and in Africa didn't have what they were used to. There wasn't a lot of bakeries or the corner pub down the road in the bush. And even in Australia, the guys that went out and about looking for ways through didn't find all that. Some of them perished right near where there was good Indigenous Australian tucker right near them. But they went in faith, knowing that God had called them to do these things. If that section of scripture just finished there, we could go, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. I want to know the power. I want to know this. I want to live for Jesus. I want to go and be a history maker. But the next section is tied in with it, and we cannot cut it out. And it says this, and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. How many people are going, yeah, that's what I want. I'm praying for that every morning when I get up in the morning. I want to suffer like Jesus suffered. I want to participate in his death. How many are with me? I didn't think so. But that flows on in the same section of this scripture, same section of this passage. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to whip ourselves. It has been taken over the centuries that people did do that, trying to be like Jesus, whip themselves, and some have even nailed themselves to crosses in some cultures throughout the world. It's not literally saying for us to do that, but it is literally saying for us to be prepared to do what the Father has called us to do. And sometimes that will cause us to be into areas that we need to hold on to Jesus like nothing else, because nothing else matters. And then he goes on and says, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, again, he's not saying that by works will I get to be saved and go to heaven. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is that I may join in, I may partner with Jesus in the incredible work. Isn't that amazing? That the life-giving transformation work of the Holy Spirit is for you and for me, but not only for us to hold on to, like some greedy kid saying, this is mine, God is all mine, but that we can participate with Jesus in the sending out, in the giving of the good news, in the empowering and the prayer for those who need to know Jesus. Now, that's a great partnership to be a part of. As I shared with the kids yesterday, out of the blue, I thought I was going home to have lunch. I thought my time had been finished at the club. And this guy just grabbed me and shared with me a most gut-wrenching story. And then to be able to stand in my surf life-saving gear and just to pray for him, to be Jesus' representative at that time and space, was just so humbling. I got back to my car and I just sat there. My heart breaking for them as a family, but also just so honored that Jesus would put me in a place where I could minister and be his hands and feet. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. But if we just say thank you today, we can believe in vain. Today, what is it that we can do for Jesus? I've got a song I want you to listen to by a band called Tree 63, a little African band. Well, South African anyway. Thanks, Brendan. It's a pretty big question, isn't it? And the answer will be totally different for each and every one of us. I've got in my notes here, asking this question is like buying a puppy. Rationale behind this is that when we looked to get a new puppy, we looked at hundreds. And with our modern technology these days, all of us would be in the room with our iPhones and whatever things, tablets, and Googling puppies. And we'd bring up, oh, cute, how cute is this puppy? And they go, oh, he is so cute. What sort of dog's that? That's a Himalayan mountain dog. He's cute. How big does he get? He grows over 6 foot tall on his hind legs. Yeah, no, we're not getting him. All the puppies look cute, don't they? No matter what, even the little ones that don't get much bigger than puppy size, they look cute. we had to end up making a decision. And we seriously prayed about it. And I could not imagine, over such a simple thing to pray about, a new puppy for the Johnson household, how brilliant this little puppy fits our family. Just amazing. So when I ask you about what can you do for Jesus, the first protocol I want you to get to is to pray it through. Just pray it through. And what Jesus has for you to put into your hands and into your heart will be just right for you at this moment in time. With all your circumstances, with all your things around your life, you don't have to drop everything and go to Africa unless that's what God's calling you to do. Another thing I call you to think and pray through is to get to know Jesus more. We read that in the passage this morning, didn't we? That Paul says, I want to know Christ. At the moment, one of my devotionals I'm reading is a 30-day devotional on knowing God. And it's just been revolutionary again and again and again. Going back some of the most basic things that I've ever been taught, but just knowing who my God is. And going deeper about knowing who this Jesus is. In parallel with that is something that I struggle with, and I don't know if any of you ever struggle with it, and that is an effective prayer life. And so I've got another devotional teaching me and training me in the area of prayers. And some of the verses I put up on the Koinonia Life Facebook page are those prayers that are just so simple. Like yesterday, I think, was 2 Chronicles 7:14. Have we ever heard of that one before on prayer? All the time. But yet, if we grabbed hold of that, how transforming would that be to our own lives, let alone our community and our nation? So today, as we remember and we celebrate a risen Jesus, he is risen indeed, may we go, Lord, how can I live this for you? How can I not just leave it as something I celebrate once a year with lots of chocolate and everything around it, but how can I live it every day of my life? The resurrection of Jesus working in and through me. Being a history maker in my life, in my community. I want you to think about that. And if there's something that's stirred within you about, okay, this is an area of my life that I want to get right with God. Maybe there's areas of prayer and Bible, like we've said, or getting even know Jesus more and more. Or maybe there's area of forgiveness or fear. We need not to have any of those things in our place. The transformational work, the resurrection power of Almighty God, working in and through us, sets us free. As much as Jesus is alive, we are alive. In my last church as a youth pastor, we put together a motto and all that sort of stuff. We grabbed it from elsewhere. It's been used many times before. And it was as simple as this. He died for me, so I'll live for him. That's my challenge. You've done that so I can live for you. Amen.